Authors Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Authors Studio is brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. Say, did you know that a 1.5-ounce bottle of Ban Roll-On antiperspirant costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6-ounce sprays? Listen to this. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays will give you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. And tests have shown that Ban Roll-On will help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Ban Roll-On, so economical, yet so effective.
This is what aerosol hairspray sounds like. This is what Final Net sounds like. The big difference in the way they sound is the big difference in the way they work. Final Net is not an aerosol. It's concentrated to give you a great long-lasting hold. There are no wasteful propellants. That makes it economical, too. 8 ounces of Final Net go as far as 24 ounces of aerosol hairspray. You get a great hold at a great price. Final Net, the first sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
Ladies, gentlemen, the small rain rains down. My house is chill. My temper short, my labor's long. I am, nevertheless, and notwithstanding, your servant, William Makepeace Thackeray, author of Vanity Fair. Yet I cannot try as I will counterfeit good humor. I have a fever and a touch of the gout. My wife, my manservant, my daughter all dose me with medicines. They try to bully me to my couch, leaving my faithful listeners with what? Silence. Well, I'll not. Come, let us to Becky Sharp. She, if anyone, can put me in good temper. Becky and Rawdon bide in their little cottage. Charming place, but they hope it only a temporary hour. Yet, whilst they dwell here, they must make do, and are about it.
Rawdon, dearest, we must be about making more friends, sending off more letters.
Who now, my angel?
Emmy.
Emmy? She is your friend.
Well, I didn't finish. Emmy and George.
George? George Osborne? That bounder, that blockhead?
The same.
Make him a friend? That's what you're up to?
Hmm?
He don't like you. Insulted you. I'll not have the swine in this house. Knock him flat and will again if he sets his boot across the threshold.
No, he doesn't like me, but he will.
You want him to like you?
Oh, you know full well I can't abide him. He's a pompous donkey with silly, stupendous moustaches, vain as a woman, and treats Emmy like a serving wench. I'd be most pleased never to set eyes upon him ever again. But to gain what one wants in life, one must put up with a great deal one doesn't want. So, George must like me, like you, and be our friend.
Will I ever understand you?
No, my darling, only love me.
Why, damn me, must George love you?
We need him.
In all conscience, for what?
What? Our affairs are critical, are they not?
And what's Osborne to do with that?
Everything to do.
George?
Have we any money? George has money.
We can live on credit, you said so.
Oh, not entirely. We must have some cash.
I say, George, old friend, lend us £1,000. There's a good fellow. Come off it, Beck.
Not lend, love. Lose.
What?
Have you not told me more than once that George is a very poor player at cards?
Yes.
An abominable billiard player?
Yes.
A ninny with the dice?
That too.
And you a genius at all three?
Yes, am.
Darling booby, do you not yet comprehend my meaning? If George is your friend, you play cards, play billiards, play dice with George, and behold, we will have cash in our pocket until Aunt Matilda is back in our pocket.
Ah, ha. Right. It signifies. What a one you are to... No, he won't come here with Emmy Beck. I threatened him with a duel. He won't come near me.
'Tis exactly why he will come near you. Afraid not to.
Don't want him near me except to fight a duel. How I'd relish to hear my second say, "Stand back to back, gentlemen. Walk 10 paces. Turn and fire." Bang. Lieutenant George Osborne dead as a flounder. No, Becky, no. Cash or no cash, I'll not have that blackguard in my house. And that's flat.
George, darling, do look what Hopkins brought us just before you came.
What, Emmy?
Of course, someone brought it to Hopkins first, and then he brought it to me for
what,
us.
What, Emmy?
With such a very nice note from Rawdon Crowley. He wants us to sup with him and Becky in their new little house.
Zounds, what nerve. I'm damned if I break bread with that pair. He's as base a dog as ever I met. And Becky, sharp, a brazen
little...
Oh, please,
George. Don't say horrid things of my dearest friend.
All right. But I'll say what I please of Crawley. I've not told you this before, but the blighter, he...
Yes, darling.
Well, come to think of it, Becky is your dearest friend. And for your sake, little Emmy, I will forget any differences with Crawley and sup.
Yes, well, my opinion is of no consequence here. But I'd have preferred what Rawdon prefers. George Osborne, dead as a flounder. Ah, well, Becky's in charge, and she would have it otherwise. Will it be otherwise? You'll pardon me while I drink my medicine, and then you shall be answered. Whilst Amelia and George drive to the cottage on Mulberry Row to dine with Captain and Mrs. Crawley, the hostess gives instructions to the host.
Now, my lord and master, you must be agreeable, harmonious, and amiable with George.
Will, best I can.
And you must not be jealous when I take him out on the terrace to see the backyard garden.
What garden? Covered with snow.
Oh, to see the snow on the hawthorn hedges then, very pretty and white.
Why the devil have you to take him outside?
Dearest, I did not like George Osborne from the first and have hardly said a civil word to him since. I must try to make up for that and quickly.
How?
Well, I don't know how. I'll know when the time comes. I always do.
How will you get him from inside to outside without Emmy?
I don't know that either.
But Will?
Yes. Well, you don't think I can?
No, you can't.
Thank you, my own, and thank you for not being jealous.
Didn't say that.
Oh, Rawdon, I despise him. Loathe the mere thought of being with him alone. I am making this sacrifice for you.
Oh, blast Aunt Matilda. If she'd but take us back, I'd not have to suffer that mountebank on the terrace with my wife.
Oh, how dear you are to want to spare me. How tenderly I love you for wanting to protect me. Now kiss me and wish me well.
The guests have arrived. Rawdon, at what cost, did, yes, receive George agreeably, harmoniously, amiably. Whilst the two guardsmen enjoy a hot whiskey toddy, if not each other, Becky is showing Emmy the bridal chamber.
Oh, Becky, how I do envy you. Your own little house. Your own big husband. And surely you don't mind a bit that Miss Crawley has so meanly treated you.
Oh, I don't mind yet. Should it go on too long, I shall mind terribly.
I know how much you want a mansion, but this sweet, sweet house...
Oh, dear Emmy, never mind the sweet house.
I need your advice. I can no longer bear it that the man you're to marry dislikes me. Would it help, do you think, if I tell him how forlorn I am?
I never know about George.
Ah, yes. Well, I can but try. Tell him alone? Well, yes. I hadn't thought before. Alone is best. Don't you agree? I see you do. Very well. I'll act as you advise. But how can I be alone with him? You'll ask him to step onto the terrace with me to look at the garden all covered with snow. You've seen it from the window and don't need to go with us. Oh, Emmy, how glad I am you thought of it.
George, dear, the back garden is so pretty covered with snow. I saw it from the bedchamber. Do go onto the terrace with Becky and see the white hedgerows.
Splendid idea, Emmy.
Oh, I'd be very pleased to show you, George.
Oh, loathe snow. And what's a hedgerow to me?
La, I promise quite to change your mind.
Too damned cold. I've a bit of a catarrh. Outside make it worse. Prefer another hot toddy, Crawley, and stay all comfy inside.
I say, Beck, what now?
Why, you pour him his toddy, dearest. 'Tis very efficacious for catarrh.
But you said...
I said I'd think of something. And I shall.
That George is a nasty customer. Any other man, even in the dead of winter, would leap for the terrace to be alone with Becky Sharp. Let us hope his damn catarrh worsens as has my gout. Dear listeners, it shall not keep me from you on Monday next. For I am your ever faithful servant, William Makepeace Thackeray.
Studio has been brought to you by Final Net Non-Aerosol Hair Mist, a sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.